You can stand it if you know it's not forever. Let's talk about it on this edition of E-Life.
Hi, that was Steve Brown, and I'm Mike Keller. You're listening to Key Life, practical Bible principles for daily living. Now, here with Bible in hand is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. Keep your Bible handy, because that's what I am, a Bible teacher. As I've said on numerous occasions, I have wonderful political views, and they're better than yours. I have sociological insights that would amaze and dazzle you. I have an undergraduate degree in philosophy and religion, and you would be amazed if you would just let me talk about Descartes. I've asked God on occasion, and he says, no, I didn't ask you to be creative. Just find out what the Bible says and tell people, and so that's what I'm doing. And generally, we go through books of the Bible on Key Life, and we are even now in the midst of a break from our Old Testament survey, and we're looking at some subjects that are apt for the times in which we live, the pain and suffering that we all face, and that we face as nations, and we face as a world. Where is God when it really hurts? And so we're taking some time, and this material is from a book I wrote, When Your Rope Breaks, and you can get it if you'll call us, we'll let you know how, or you can get it at a bookstore. But if you were listening yesterday, I'm talking about a number of good news items that you need to remember when you're going through some bad stuff. And we talked about the bad news the last 2 weeks. God loves you. Not only that, he likes you. We talked about what his love really means, the Greek word for love. We said that whatever you're going through, that it has a purpose, and Romans 8:28 is true. And then yesterday I want to talk a little bit more about this today, that you will make it through. We looked at Job and what his friend Bildad, who said, now some of friends, of Job's friends, said some really dumb things, but sometimes they said some good stuff. And we saw yesterday that Job's friend Bildad in Job 8:19-22 said, behold, this is the joy of his way, God's way, and out of the earth others will grow. The old God will not cast away the blameless. And who are the blameless? Those are the forgiven. Nor will he uphold the evildoers. Those are those who are not forgiven. He will yet, we know that from the New Testament. He will yet fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked will come to nothing. In other words, do it right. It's going to come out all right. You're going to get through it. I've got a friend who's going through a midlife crisis, and he's experiencing all the struggles that come about the age of 40. Now, I'm over that now. I'm going through old age crisis. That's hard. God's taking a whole lot less. But anyway, he said to me, Steve, midlife crisis isn't so bad because you know you go from midlife to maturity. It's the old age that's scary. That's the great fear we all have when we go through pain and suffering, that death is going to be it. Let me give you a working principle. You can stand any tough time if you know it's only temporary. I've often said, you know you can stand hell if you know you're going to get out. The problem with hell is that it's eternal. If you know that suffering will end, you can get through it. God promises that, even though it hurts right now, that there will be an end to it, and you will not ultimately be destroyed. His love assures that as a bottom line fact. Both of our daughters, when they were growing up in school, made good grades. When Robin, one of our daughters, was taking an advanced English class in high school, I may have told you this before, she came to me after a couple of sessions and said, Dad, and by the way, Robin works here at our Key Life Ministry. She edits much of my material and is the editor of the magazine. And a dynamite lady. She's married to a gorilla. But I like him. They're all gorillas, man. If you're a father of daughters, you understand that. I mean, there's just nobody good enough for your daughter. But the two son-in-laws that I have come as close as you can get to being good enough for my daughters. Anyway, Robin came to me when she was a teenager. She said, Dad, I can't take that course. Everyone in the course is ahead of me, and half the time I don't know what's going on. I want to take a regular English class, not an advanced one. But her request seemed reasonable to me. She's too responsible anyway. You know, you don't want your kids staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning every night to get homework. So I went with her to the high school to change the course from advanced English to a regular English course. The advisor said that, of course, Robin could change, but she would need the approval of the head of the English department. And so Robin and I made our way to the office of Jenny Krugman, who is just a delight. She told me that if I wanted Robin to change, she would approve it. But she asked if it would be all right if she talked to Robin first. Well, I said, okay. She turned to Robin. Now, Robin was close to tears. She said, Robin, almost everyone who takes this advanced English course is scared to death at the beginning. If we didn't think you could do it, we would have never assigned you to the course. It's going to be hard, but you can do the work. Now, Robin wasn't buying a word of that. Jenny said, Robin, I'm going to make you a deal. I promise that no matter how bad your work is, you'll get an A in this course. I promise you that. Now, will you take the course? No, I didn't have a dumb daughter. I mean, that's a good deal. She knows a good deal when she sees one, and she accepted it. Robin, by the way, ended up making straight A's in the course for the next 2 years, majored in English in college, and later Jenny explained her theory to me. I knew your daughter could do the work, she said, but she didn't know it. So I took the threat of failure away by promising her a good grade no matter what. I wouldn't have done that with a lot of students, but I knew that it was safe with Robin. You see, Robin was afraid of failure. As soon as she knew she wasn't going to fail the course, she was free to study hard. The work wasn't easy for her, but advanced English was her most productive course of that year. All right. You say, what does this have to do with the stuff I'm going through? Listen, God treats us like Jenny Krugman treated Robin. In Christ, he has taken away the threat of ultimate destruction. He has said, I promise you that you will come out of this fine, and you're going to be home, and there will be no more pain and no more tears. Once we know that, you can deal with some of the bad stuff. But let me give you some more good news. Not only are you going to get through it, not only does whatever you're going through have a purpose. Listen to this. You're not alone. God loves you and values you, and you don't have to go through this mess by yourself. Listen to what Jesus said. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Now that's John 14, 16 through 18, and he promised, and he never lies. One time, two of my heroes were together. One was William Buckley. I had breakfast with him a while ago. There were 600 other people there, but I had breakfast with him. And my other hero was Malcolm Muggeridge. He's home with Jesus now. And they were discussing the concept of the cross. And Buckley talked about people he had known who had suffered and yet had peace when they went through the suffering. Let me tell you what Muggeridge said. This is what he said. In every time, in every age, this, the spiritual benefits of suffering, is demonstrated to us. And I think in our time it's been marvelously demonstrated by Solzhenitsyn and the other heroic people from the Soviet labor camps, all of whom say the same thing. The ones that have achieved spiritual perception through it, that they learn this point, that it's through the affliction that you can see reality, and that therefore, as Solzhenitsyn says in his book, thank you, prison camp, for bringing this illumination into my life, which otherwise I would have lost. Now, you've got to be careful here. This whole concept can easily become a cliche offered to people who are going through difficult times, and where Christians say silly things. I expect that everyone who has not suffered or who is not suffering right now doesn't have the right to talk glibly about the presence of God in the midst of the suffering. However, there's some things about God you cannot learn until it hurts. I hate that. There's some ways you don't know God until your rope breaks. There's some places you can't meet God except the dark places. Corrie Ten Boom was speaking one time to some people who were facing death in the midst of persecution. She believed some people in Africa. And she became acutely aware that some of the people were going to die for Christ. And she knew they were afraid, and she knew that she couldn't say silly things to them. You know what she did? She told them about a time when she was a little girl, and she would go to the train station with her father, where he would put her on the train to visit relatives. Her father never gave her the money for the ticket until she got on the train. She told those fearful people that God was like that. When it came time for them to suffer, even to die, their Heavenly Father would not leave them alone. He would give them the money for the ticket when they got on the train. So, and maybe I'll say a little bit more about it tomorrow, but today you remember. Well, on Monday I'll say more about it. You remember. You don't have to do this by yourself. He's there. He really is. You think about that. Come in. Hey, if you haven't written or called for the booklet we're offering free this month, Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? It's excerpts from the teaching I'm giving on Key Life. And if you're going through a difficult time or you have a friend who is, I think you'll find this helpful. If you'll call us 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and ask for Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? We'll send it to you absolutely free without charge or obligation. And I really mean that. Don't you dare not write or call because you can't afford a contribution. But listen, if this ministry ministers to you and you can, I would appreciate it more than you know if you would stand with us financially. When you do that, you help your brothers and sisters in Christ who can't do that and to whom we send hundreds of thousands of free tapes and teachings of liturgy. For any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you a good way to begin your new year with a cassette teaching, New Year's Examination. By the way, you can charge your contribution on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, included in your envelope. Give us the call letters of this station when you write or call, and Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.